नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य सतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। In this portion of Bhagavatam, it is explained how Dhruva Maharaj was received after he had an audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So his father, Uttanapad, received him and took him to his palace. So Maitreya Muni is describing about how this wonderful palace is arranged. It is mentioned here how the beautiful buildings, wonderfully decorated roads, various arches with several auspicious symbols like banana plant, betel nut plant, so many varieties of flowers, the sandalwood scented water is sprinkled on the roads. Just to sprinkle water itself is so difficult. Sandalwood water is sprinkled on the roads. How various gardens were arranged with wonderful plants from different planetary system, from Swargaloka, etc. So one can understand how the people lived during the past yugas. For somebody living in Kali Yuga, this is something like unimaginable. What is this? How is it possible? Especially it was mentioned when Dhruva Maharaj was coming back home, the heavenly denizens, they came on the aeroplanes. It's like helicopter, you know, going around like that. The aeroplanes, they were going around. So, somebody who has no idea about such a wealthy living and a different way of living altogether, in which it is not just the matter only reality, something more than matter also is reality. It's unbelievable. They'll say this looks like a Star Trek, you know, it's like fictitious mythology. The British termed all the Puranic description as mythology. Mythology is just fictitious, you know, somebody just wrote, imaginary. Sometimes, you know, there are science fictions, fictitious stories come. They just write something which is actually not, you know, practical. Just imagination, speculation. This is because of Kali Yuga mentality. Kali Yuga tendency is to consider what you see, that is what you believe. That which I cannot see, I don't believe. There is a description which I can't see. No, I don't believe this. Rationalism, materialism, physicalism, whatever you may call, different, is another jugglery of ours. So, when it is mentioned that the aeroplanes, you know, the denizens of the higher planetary system, they were visiting the palace of Uttanapad to just shower blessings upon Dhruva Maharaj. Wait a minute, how can there be aeroplane? We didn't see any aeroplane in the, you know, 19th century. Only in 20th century we invented aeroplane. Wright brothers, we know that 1903 aeroplane was invented. Then all aeroplanes we know only in 20th century. How can there be aeroplane before? No, no, this must be imagination. So we know the aeroplane of one kind which works on the physical principle. The aeroplane that we are running is a physical principle. It's manipulation of matter. How? This aerodynamics, you know, manipulate aerodynamics. Then physical object can go up in the air. That is not the only way to fly aeroplane. We don't know another technology. We don't know any other technology. We know only the technology of matter. We know the technology of matter, that which uses only material facilities to fly, that is what we know. If something like some other kind of aeroplane, you won't expect an aeroplane like a, you know, the heavenly aeroplane won't look like this current day aeroplane with the two wings and things like that. Different kind of aeroplane. We are not even aware what kind of fuel is used in that. It's a different kind, subtle. Subtle technology, spiritual technology. So, sometimes we come across, even modern days, there are some unidentified flying object. They say UFO. Some people are seeing some flying object, but they can't explain what it is. It comes and goes away, or just not only ordinary people, some rationalistic people also see, they can't believe, how can it be possible? How is it coming and going? But then, people say, this is something extraordinary coming from somewhere else. Somebody says, maybe it's illusion. Somebody deluded, he's imagining, he's a dread dreaming, you know. In the dream he must have seen something like that. So, it is quite possible to have a different kind of technology to have aeroplanes to come. That is ancient technology. We don't have an idea how to do that. In science what we do is, if you have to say something, you just have to show it actually. Okay, you say that there is a Pushpak Viman, make a Pushpak Viman and show it flying, then I believe. Authority. The authority is, the sense perception is the only reality. If I don't see, I don't believe in that. So, in the same way, when you say that there is a palace like this, you know, there was a palace and such emerald, all those, say, hey, where is that palace? Oh, we don't know where is that palace. No, then that didn't exist. In science, if you have to prove that there were some kind of civilization, then you'll have to show something, remnants of that civilization, right? Mohenjo-daro, Harappa, oh, there was an Indus Valley civilization. Yeah, there is some remnants are there. Because of that, yeah, there must have been some civilization. So, this modern way of assessing the truth, which doesn't go beyond few thousand years, is very difficult for them to digest the fact that there was a very rich culture and civilization way back, you know, thousands and thousands of years back. Generally, when Bhagavatam describes about how Lord Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwaraka, I think, you know, it's all must be, who knows, where is the proof? Where is the palace that we are talking about? People try to ask like that. Even scientifically speaking, what is known as marine archaeology. Like archaeology means you'll do it on the land, you know, you dig and then find out some remnants of previous civilization. So archaeology. Marine archaeology is go underwater in the sea. In the sea, you do some study, go underwater and find out anything is remaining from previous civilization. That is called marine archaeology. There was a study done few decades back in Dwaraka. Dwaraka. Bet Dwaraka. From Bet Dwaraka, you know, you take a boat to go to Bet Dwaraka. They did some studies there. It is found out that there is some remnants of some fort and huge gates and compound wall and things of the sort, something like a palace. Something like a fort underwater. And this is science. And then they said, okay, let us decide, you know, how old this should be. And then they did some kind of carbon dating. The technology called carbon dating. You know, you try to find out how old an object is by means of carbon dating. It's about 5,000 years. Little over 5,000 years. So, you can understand that even scientifically speaking, if 5,000 years ago there is some palace, and that also is a place called Dwaraka, and whose palace was that actually? Somebody must have lived, you know. You can't have a palace with gates and a port. No, it's like a port city without nobody living there. They don't have any idea who must have lived. And then Bhagavatam says, wait a minute, that is for Krishna. Krishna lived there 5,000 years ago. They may not accept Krishna, but they accept at least something must have been there. So at least it is a proof that Krishna's palace, some remnants are there. You can scientifically prove it. So if in Dwaraka he lived, then he must have born somewhere. You know, that is what Bhagavatam says, he was born in Mathura. And then same Bhagavatam says he performed all these pastimes in Vrindavan. You can't accept one truth and half truth and another half truth, you cannot neglect. So, in this way, if one tries to see things in the proper perspective, so for a materialistic person, matter is the only reality and that is what their authority is. Those who establish truth based upon matter, that is their authority. But for a person who understands, the reality is not just matter, something beyond matter also exists. Then authority is Shastra, Sadhu and Guru. So Shastra, the Vedic literature, give description about something which is not conceivable at the present point of time when one is in the material mode of nature. But there are truth which can be experienced when one transcends the material mode. It's possible. It's not that everything can be realized with the material vision. It's not that everything can be realized with the blunt senses. Something more. When one goes beyond material mode, transcendental mode, things can be realized. So, on the authority of Shastra, we accept that such a civilization existed. If one part of the truth we accept, we have to accept in whole, entire thing. You can't just accept half of it. So here, in this section, Maitreya Rishi is explaining how opulent this palace was. So it is explained here, the staircase that led to the lake, there were so many lakes, and the staircase that led to the lake that was made of emerald. Emerald is a green stone. Many of us may not have even seen. I have not seen emerald actually. How many of you have seen emerald? Real emerald, not nakli. Anything green doesn't mean emerald, you know. Real emerald, anybody has seen real emerald? Yes? So one out of so many. So many valuable gems, we don't even have an opportunity to see actually. So this emerald with which the staircase was made, if somebody can make staircase with emerald, how much wealth he must be having? What's the level of opulence the person must be living? Emerald, the staircase was made with emerald because this is the staircase to the lake. So you will find now the lake, no water is there. Because of water, now you find some green algae, no? Sometimes the staircases are green colored. You get into some water, you go to Vrindavan, some kund you go, you find water is green. Staircase is also, which is underwater, little bit green algae, no, it's fresh, greenish. So here, the whole staircase is made of the green stone, emerald. And the Prabhupada says, the lakes which are man-made lakes, they made, it's like, you know, a body of water is desirable because sometimes you take pleasure in getting into water. Now sometimes people want a swimming pool. Housing society is swimming pool, hotel is swimming pool. You can't just be sitting in the room all the time. Sometimes you want to just change the mode from, you know, gross, you know, from solid mode to liquid mode. Want to get into water, swim and take pleasure. So here, there are man-made lakes inside the palace. And the plants around the lake, they are all from heavenly planet, Parijat tree and things of that sort. Because they give the flowers which are very fragrant, the fruits which are very tasty. Such kind of plants were there. And the lakes were full of variously colored lotus flowers and lilies. So Prabhupada writes elsewhere, there are different, here it is mentioned, different colored lotuses. There are red colored lotus, red lotus, there are some blue colored lotus. It is said that the blue colored lotus bloom during the daytime. In the nighttime it closes. Whereas there are red colored lotus which bloom in the nighttime, closes in the daytime. There are third category of lotus known as Indivara lotus, which blooms only in the evening. Neither in the daytime nor in the night. During the evening only. When the sun sets, dusk time it glooms. After that it closes. So like that, some lotus want to have darshan of sun. Some lotus want to have darshan of moon. Accordingly they open when sun and moon are there. So in this way, because this lake is full of blue lotus also and red lotus also, then throughout the day there will be some lotus blooming. In some lakes there may be only red lotus. In some lakes you may have only blue lotus. But these lakes of Uttanapad, they had all lotuses so that all points of time some lotus is blooming and giving wonderful fragrance. So, the water of these lakes were so clean, it was giving an ambience of mode of goodness. It could be a filthy water also, dirty water. But these waters, they were very clean. And because the water was so clean, and because wonderful flowers like lotus were there, it is mentioned here, how different birds were in these lakes. Swans, Karandavas, Chakravakas, cranes and other valuable birds. So these birds, if you see, they are also in the mode of goodness. Because depending upon the atmosphere, different entities are there. So these birds, they make nice sound. Birds mean they keep making sound, you know. So they make some wonderful background. This is like a background sound. If you go to a forest, some nice birds are making cuckoo, cuckoo, then you like it. Also, there may be sometimes crows coming. Crows are coming slowly. Crows also make sound. They sound, I don't know, it's not very pleasing generally. Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki. So the birds in the mode of goodness, when they make sound in the mode of goodness, depending upon what mode you are situated in, you perform the activity also like that. When the sound is made in the mode of goodness, it is very pleasing to do some spiritual activity, to be situated. If you are interested to do a spiritual activity, then it is essential that the atmosphere is in the mode of goodness, association is in the mode of goodness. Then when all such things are there, then it is conducive for performing such activities. So it is said that this Chakravaka bird is like a duck. It's like a bulky duck, like a globe-like duck. And it takes pleasure in tasting the blue lotus. Chakravaka bird, it enjoys in the company of blue lotuses. Blue lotus, daytime. Animals go to take rest in the night, so it doesn't take pleasure in red lotus because red lotus doesn't gloom during the time it is in the lake. So morning time Chakravaka comes, blue lotus is glooming. Oh, it takes pleasure in tasting the blue lotuses. So Prabhupada explains. The birds like swans or hamsas, swans, they don't associate with the crow-like birds. Crow is also a bird, same family, bird family. But birds have a different tendency and swans have a different other tendency. Swans usually are living in the area in which things are in the mode of goodness. Clean water, lotuses available, they are very happy there. Whereas crows, you will never find the crows in a very clean water. For crow, it looks like it is irrelevant for its existence, what is this, Crow takes pleasure in where things are dirty. Filthy place. Filth. You'll find, when there is some garbage, you see, BMC, garbage compactor going. You won't find a swan, chasing it. Whereas sometimes you find on top of it some crows are, hanging around when something, some remnant can I get or not. He takes pleasure actually. You may think that, hey, what is wrong, with this crow? But once the soul is in the crow's body, for him the object of sense is the filth. Object of sense gratification. He finds pleasure in filth. That is his attractive thing. For him, you say that take this, why don't you take pleasure in this blue lotus? He says, nonsense. What is this blue lotus? I don't find any taste here. Blue lotus? No. So Prabhupada writes that the birds, crows, they have their association, society of crows. They all get together whenever there's a common agenda. You find sometimes a crow is dead, at least in Bombay you won't see. Like, in the open wire is there, some crow is dead. You'll find all the crows, caw, 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 caw. Come on, we have a great assembly here. Everybody gets together, hundreds of crows together. You won't find any other bird coming there. Birds of the same feather flock together, association. So Prabhupada writes, crow, a society of crows. Crows only get together. They have a common agenda of how to get filth more. They dig the filth, they take out the filth and enjoy. Whereas birds like Chakravakas, which enjoy lotus flower, blue lotus flower, they don't get along. They don't even go in the direction of filth. They don't go in the direction of filth. When ka, ka, ka sound is there, they don't go there. Because that sound, no, you don't, nobody takes pleasure. It's not, it disturbance. If suppose you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, background, you are in the background, some nice birds are making sound, coo, coo, then you don't get disturbed. It doesn't disturb actually the mind. Whereas a crow is making sound, disturbs him. Hey, chalo, why are you making noise here? So, Prabhupada writes, one should be in the association of people who are swan-like. If one is desirous to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Narada Rishi, when he visited Vyasa Dev, and when he inquired from Narada, inquired from Vyasa Dev about why he was not satisfied. So Vyasa Dev explained how he compiled all the Vedic literatures. Four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas, all this, the Vedanta Sutra of all, top, end of Vedic studies, still he was not satisfied. So, Narada Rishi said, for the people who are crow-like, for them, the place of pilgrimage is those literature which doesn't describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tad Vayasam Tirtham. Vayasam Tirtham. Tirtha is place of pilgrimage, you know. Vayasam means crow. Crow. If the literature that doesn't describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is meant for crow-like people. Narada Rishi was very heavy. He is talking about the literature like Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is considered, the end description of the Vedic studies. And here, Narada Rishi is chastising Veda Vyas. Sometimes you say, the chastisement is part of Krishna consciousness, especially from Guru. A Guru chastises the disciple. Immediately, what is this? You are chastising, I am going. What kind of surrender is that? You have to see why a chastisement is given. So here, Narada Rishi was so heavy that he even says that the literature like Vedanta Sutra is meant for crows. Crow-like people who take pleasure in things other than describing about the Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada writes, yes, those people who take Vedanta Sutra and then start speculating, they are crows. Not understanding what is actually the message conveyed in Vedanta Sutra, but then they start speculating new things. And then finally what they do? They do crow-like activity. Anathalaya, Annakshetra, different kinds of social activity. Hospital, educational institute, all things minus Krishna. So Narada Muni says, all those things minus Krishna is for crow-like people. Because those activities does not help a person to achieve the ultimate purpose in life. That is meant for swans. Swans. Because Krishna's feet is lotus-like. Lotus feet. We say lotus feet. Lotus feet. So crows don't come to lotus feet, you know. You don't find crows going to lotus. Crows go to filth. Filth is something minus Krishna. Whereas Krishna and his lotus feet, they are like lotus. Krishna is here. The important aspect is this Chakravaka bird, it gets attracted to the blue lotus, right? So Krishna's feet is like blue lotus. Krishna's body is lotus. Krishna's body is bluish, blackish blue, blue shade. So Krishna's lotus feet is bluish. So a person here, it is mentioned that has to be like Chakravaka bird, not like a crow. Not crow. Crow is filth. Material enjoyment. One who takes pleasure in material enjoyment. So, Kulashekhar Alvar prays, that is why, Krishna todiya pada pankaja pancharantam madhyeva me manasa raja hamsa. Krishna todiya pada pankaja. Pankaja is again lotus. So, Krishna's feet is compared to lotus. Lotus. So lotus is attractive to the birds which are in the mode of goodness, not to crow-like birds. Crow-like birds cannot be attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. So the mind, Krishna tadiya padapankaja pancharantam madhyevaye manasa raja hamsa. So mind has to be like Hamsa. Hamsa means swan. Swan, same family. Swan, Chakravaka, all this, they are in the same family. They are all in the mode of goodness. So, Kulashekhar Alvar prays, oh, let my mind be like swan, attracted to your lotus feet. Let it be entangled in the, you know, the cluster of the stems of the lotus of your feet, so that I can achieve the perfection in life. So, the mind has to be, see, swan is also white, it's not, crow is black. Black is the mode of ignorance. White. So, here, the mind has to be purified. The mind is so contaminated with all kinds of material desire. Covered up with all kinds of desire. The whiteness of the mind is not even revealed. Like a mirror. Mirror is reflective. Don't see. Covered with all the material desire. So it has to be cleansed. Actually, Kulashekhar Alvar prays, my mind is at least thinking about you. Now let me give up so that I can remember you. Who knows when I am going to die, whether my throat is going to be choked up. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pittai kanto varodhanana vidau smaranam kutaste. How am I going to remember you? Now at least my mind is peaceful. Let me remember you. Kulashekhar Alvar is praying. So, here, it is indicated that one has to bring his mind to the mode of goodness so that one can be attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. As long as the mind is not brought to the mode of goodness, mind will not be attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. It will be only attracted towards the material enjoyment. Another important aspect Prabhupada says about swan is that even when the water and the milk mixed and you offer it to swan, Hamsa, swan has a special quality that it can only take the milk and leave the water. Swans, they only take the milk, even if it is mixed. So Prabhupada writes, in this material world, everything is mixed, you know, everything is adulterated. Even if you want to buy the milk, you know, you can't buy really pure milk. You can't be really sure that you are getting the real cow's milk. Cow's milk, you don't know how much water is there. How much it is adulterated, especially in Bombay. You have to have a cow to really, you know, milk it, and then you can be sure. Adulterated. Everything is mixed. especially in Kali Yuga, more of water than milk actually. So if a person becomes swan-like, so he can engage those objects which can be engaged in service of Krishna and still be Krishna conscious. It is not that we can blame, oh, in Kali Yuga it's very difficult, Prabhu. We are not in Satyuga, no, Uttanapad and all. We are in Kali Yuga. No, it's possible. But one has to make his mind like swan-like. Sarupa Goswami explains how one can perform Yukta Vairagya. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upajunjata Nirbande Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Vachate. So many objects are there, filth is also there. But then, a swan-like devotee can differentiate between what is good for spiritual advancement and what is not good, and leave what is not good. He understands who is good for my association and who is not, and then leaves the crow-like people. He selects the place of his living, what is good for my spiritual advancement and what is not good, and leaves the place of pilgrimage of crows. Place of pilgrimage of crows. So in that way, when one can discriminate between reality and non-reality, one can actually take advantage of this Kali Yuga, even though so much disadvantageous situation is there, one can take advantage. And Vidura actually points out how Dhruva Maharaj was like swan. Arthavit. Arthavit means one who can discriminate between reality and non-reality. What is good, what is bad. Arthavit. So when one actually practices Krishna consciousness with the right perspective of bringing the mind to the mode of goodness, for that, one, obviously, one has to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Plus, keeping the association of people in the mode of goodness, swan-like people, keeping the place of living like the wonderful lake that is described here in the mode of goodness. Performing the activities like the swans would do, not like crows, trying to find filth, trying to find fault, trying to find such things. When one actually regulates himself in his activity, one can achieve the perfection of getting entangled in the lotus feet of Krishna. That is okay. Instead of getting entangled in the material world, one should get entangled in the stems of the lotus feet of Krishna. By that way, we can perfect our life and go back home, back to Godhead. I stop here. Any question or comments?
Hare Krishna. Don't you think that despite all bad qualities which crows have, still they are rendering good service to mankind? Because they are nature's scavengers.
Nature is?
Nature's scavengers. They are nature's scavengers. Because by eating dirty things and all that, they are responsible for, partly responsible for, keeping the things clean.
You mean the crows?
Crows.
We need crows, but we don't need to associate with them. You want to keep the place clean, you know, right? Let that place be something else. This is a garbage disposal yard. You know where it is in Bombay? It's somewhere on the outskirts. You don't keep it in the middle of the city. Garbage, they take it, you know, somewhere on the linking road, you know, around that Kandivali, you know, that area, Malad side, there is. They want to shift it farther because people are living there. So even though for the entire city it is required, but it is meant for crows, go there outside the city. You don't need to go and associate with them. Crows are necessary to do its own job. In that way, if you see, in this entire creation, every living entity has their own purpose. every living entity, for a ecological balance, so to say, required, right? Snakes are also required, scorpions are required. You don't go and say, snake, snake, please come, we'll all to be together. You know, you keep distance depending upon what is your objective, right? So, crows may be required, that is for different purpose. But for someone who actually wants to be situated in the mode of goodness, you'll have to decide where you want to be situated. So crow is situated in the mode of ignorance, right? Some are in the mode of goodness, some are in the mode of patience, some are in the mode of ignorance, right? You can't be in all the modes anyway. You'll have to select where you want to be, right? If you want to be in the mode of goodness, you can't afford to associate with crows, that's all. They may be helpful in an indirect way, but doesn't mean that you have to be associating with them. So you'll have to select your association to achieve your own objective. So here it is said, the real objective of the human form of life is to achieve the lotus of Krishna's feet. Objective.
Prabhu, again, shall I? See, why so much of importance is given to crows during some Hindus religious functions? Because see, the food is, offered to crow before it is distributed to anyone.
Karma Kanda. You want to be Karma Kandi or you want to be Bhakti Kandi, you'll have to decide. You can't be everywhere, you see. You have to select, you know. You can't be studying in 10 universities, you know. You'll have to select your university and study, you know. You'll have to select your own profession, you select, you know. You can't be a doctor, engineer, everything. You can't. If you become a doctor, you do your doctor's business. You are engineer's business. You can't do 10 things, you know. So, a Karma Kandi, his objective is different. He wants to please his forefathers. He wants to offer who he thinks that are coming in the form of crows. And he's offering to them. And he wants to go to, you know, higher planetary system. So, if that is what is your objective, he go feeding crows. Who is stopping you? No props. You go, you know, it depends on what you want to do actually. So here it is, Narada Rishi is telling that all this activity that doesn't accept the authority of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and worship Him, they are meant for crow-like people. So much so that he is even calling Vyasadev, who is actually a literary incarnation of the Personality of Godhead, you have compiled things meant for crows. Like heavy thing, you know. Narada Rishi is telling Vyasadeva, you are compelled for crows. So you should understand the gravity of the thing. What is he trying to emphasize? Anything that is not connected to the pure devotional service to Krishna is meant for crows. If you want to be associated with crows, it's your choice. Nobody is going to stop you. So if somebody is doing that is meant for Karma Kandis, those who are giving emphasis for karma and want to be elevated, and those who want to be remaining in this material world, trying to become more happy in the next life, not knowing that is another misery, that is meant for them.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you mentioned about physical this reality. Now my question is that we have this mechanistic or physical laws and understanding by our education. So the question is at higher levels.
Why don't you speak into the mic if you have mic in your hand?
The level of the Devatas and Krishna's perspective, this our understanding of mechanistic physical laws and reality, is it non-existent or is it flimsy?
Our laws of material nature?
Yeah, which are maneuvering to make these airplanes and everything, aerodynamics.
See, in modern science, everything physical only is considered a law. Whether non-physical thing is existing or not is a question, first of all. Whereas in the Vedic perspective, there is also physical which is gross and physical which is subtle. The subtle physical nature is mind, intelligence and false ego, consciousness. How the subtle is reacting with the gross, modern science doesn't know. They think that, how is the brain is working? No, maximum that they can know is only up to the level of brain. Beyond the brain, something is there, and they don't know. The way brain is functioning, they think that is mind. If at all they consider mind is there, the way brain is functioning, that is mind, not beyond mind. So, in the Vedic reality, there is no gross, subtle interaction is also considered. How to influence the gross by means of subtle, that is subtle technology. That is what is mantras are meant for. By chanting mantra, you can make effect on the physical realm, which is unknown for modern science. So if you ask whether the laws of Vedic time is little different, no, it's same law. Physical law is same. You can't have a different physical law. It is not that physical law, during Mahabharata, the law of gravitation didn't exist. No, it was existing. But then, in addition to the law of gravitation, there is super scientific laws are also acting upon that we emphasize, which materialistic person may not accept it. Because when Arjuna was shooting arrows, it was one arrow is coming and it is like fire. You say that I was shooting arrow, fire was coming. Hey, wait a minute, what kind of fiction is that? No, by mantra, you can notice that each arrow is shot by reciting a mantra. By invoking a mantra, you create a different kinds of effect. So the physical law plus the subtle law was enacted during the Vedic time. Whereas now only physical law is there. But the physical law is same whether this time or that time. The spiritual law comes, how to make the spirit getting entangled in the lotus feet of Krishna, that is a higher law. And that is purification of consciousness. First of all, you are acting, then how to purify it? Purification comes by engaging in spiritual activity, chanting the holy names of the Lord. By chanting so, not only you can manipulate the matter, gross and subtle, you can also interact with something which is spiritual, that is Krishna. Here, Dhruva Maharaj had an audience with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went to not only subtle law, he went to the spiritual law, where one can be naturally attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. When Krishna came in front of him, Dhruva Maharaj was naturally attracted. When he was blessed, he started glorifying. Nobody taught him how to glorify. He didn't even know how to glorify the personality of Godhead. There happened the spiritual law, natural, inherent quality of the soul. To be servant of Krishna is invoked at that time. One can automatically be engaged in spiritual activity. So how to elevate a person from gross level to subtle level to spiritual level, that is all about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is to bring a person to the level of invoking the original consciousness of the soul, that is Krishna conscious. So then person naturally engaged in service of Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.